Amen. So I'm going to ask you this question. Are you a zealot? Wow. That was pretty poor. Are you a zealot? Okay. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about. And that's the title for today, Mr. Bob. Are you a zealot? Are you a zealot? And I think we've all met one. One who is crying out in the wilderness, trying to get our attention, to change our ways, and to show us that everything we're doing is totally wrong. And who are these voices? Who are these zealots? They're the zealots who seek to get to the very heart of the very evil in our midst today. Prophets of today that proclaim and share all the troubles or the evils of this world today. You know, it's interesting. I watched a little bit about the Democratic National Convention this past week. Very little of it, and I saw articles and news. But when we talk about evil around us today, I just get overwhelmed by some of the things that I see. How someone at the Democratic National Convention can stand up there addressing the audience. Someone who says, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I have children, but I decided I didn't want any more children, so I got an abortion! And everyone jumps up, yay! And they're all cheering her on because she got an abortion and she was speaking for abortion. And the whole crowd was just jumping up in excitement. That's the evil in our midst today, where good is called evil and evil is called good. And we need people to stand up and say what is right and what is wrong. As we enter today's Torah Parsha, the Torah portion that's read during this week, the name of it is Pinchas, which in English is Phineas. And I want to start by looking at the end of last week's Parsha, or the Torah portion on Balak. In Numbers chapter 25, if you have your Bibles with you, your tablets with you, your phone with you, actual hard copies that have pages in them, if anybody has any of those, turn with me to 25 of Numbers, verses 1 through 9. Numbers 25, 1 through 9. And it says here, while Israel was staying in Shittim, the people began to have immoral sexual relations with women from Moab. Then they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods. So the people were eating and bowing down before their gods. And when Israel became bound to Baal of Peor, the anger of Adonai, the anger of the Lord grew hot against Israel. And Adonai said to Moses, seize all these ringleaders and hang them before Adonai facing the sun, so that Adonai's fierce anger, that's the Lord, Adonai's fierce anger may be turned away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, each of you, kill your men who have been joining themselves to Baal of Peor. Then behold, a man from Bnei Israel, from the children of Israel, from the tribe of Israel, came and brought a Midianite woman to his brothers. Before the eyes of Moses and all the whole assembly of the children of Israel, while they were still weeping at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and when Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the Cohen, saw it, he arose from the midst of the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced them through, both the Israelite man and the woman's belly. Then the plague among Bnei Israel was stopped. However, 24,000 were dead because of the plague. It sounds pretty terrible, doesn't it? Here the children of Israel were involved in immorality. The sons of Israel were getting involved with the Midianite women or the women of Moab who were worshiping other gods and enticing the children of Israel away from the true God, the God of Israel. And then this one guy openly defies the God of Israel and has relations with this foreign woman in the eyes of all Israel. But then there was this one man who stood out among all of Israel, Phinehas, who is the son of Eleazar, as it says here, the son of Aaron. He saw this evil and he took the matters into his own hand, and he took a spear, and while they were engaged in this immorality, he took the spear, threw the Israelite man his back into the woman to the ground, because he had that zeal for God's holiness and righteousness. Now, I'm not recommending anybody in here do that at all. Okay, don't say, Rabbi Yossi said that I can take a spear and... No, I'm not telling you to do that at all. After a Simeonite named Zimri brings a Midianite woman before Moses and publicly holds relation in front of Moses and the elders, Phinehas here sets out to stop that plague that's taking place throughout Israel. People are dying because of the plague. And to stop their rebellion by taking the lives of both Zimri and this Midianite woman. And with this, God blesses him for what he did. God didn't speak out against him. God didn't condemn him for it. God blessed him. He was blessed by God with a new covenant, with what's known as a Brit Shalom, a covenant of peace was put upon Phinehas for all time, and to bring everlasting priesthood to the descendants. In this case, it's going to be 99 generations. What appears as a zealous endeavor to quench that wrath of the Lord becomes a redeeming act for all the people of Israel. His act of zealousness redeemed the people of Israel and stopped this plague. And Pinchas restores that connection between God and his people in a manner that's contrary to most zealots, by acting for the sake of peace in order to reopen a channel to the heavens. That channel to heavens had been broken. That relationship with God had been broken, but he restored it by his zealousness, by his willingness to take matters in his hand and to proclaim the holiness of God. And we read in today's Torah Parsha from Numbers 25 in the next verse, verse 10, Numbers 25, starting in verse 10 through 13. Then Adonai, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the Kohen, or the priest, has turned away my anger from Bnei Yisrael, from the children of Israel, because he was zealous for me among all the people, so that I did not put an end to the children of Israel in my zeal. See, God was going to wipe all the children of Israel away, destroy them all because of this sin that they were involved in. But this one man who was zealous for God stopped the plague and God's destruction upon the people and restored that relationship between God and the people of Israel here. So now say, see, I am making him a Brit Shalom, a covenant of peace. It will be for him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and atoned for the children of Israel. So what prompted this behavior of this man Phinehas, or in Hebrew, Pinchas? As everyone was enjoying themselves and caught up in all the reverie that was going around, taking place, what prompted him? Was it the weeping of Moses that he saw, and the elders that provoked him to take this act upon himself? Did he feel as if the leadership here, Moses and Aaron and others, they were caught off guard by this blatant disregard for the Lord's commands and the horrors that was taking place? Whatever it was, here we know he acted solely. He acted on his own here, quickly and without self-seeking motive. He wasn't trying to promote himself in any way whatsoever. And he superseded the leadership in place there, Moses and Aaron, to act purely for what's known as L'shem Shemayim, for the sake of heaven. He interceded for the sake of heaven. And we need to be people also who intercede for the sake of heaven. When we see evil in our midst, evil all around us, we have to intercede for L'shem Shemayim, for the sake of heaven, and take a stand for the things of God, regardless of what people say, what regardless of what people may think. And because of this, this Brit Shalom, this covenant of peace that Pinchas and his descendants were awarded with was appropriate because he sought to bring peace between man and God. It's important to understand here that Pinchas probably wouldn't have done this if he had given it a second thought. And a lot of times, we wouldn't do things if we gave it a second thought. But in his case, he knew, he just felt, I got to do this, and I got to get this spirit. I've got to rid this evil from this camp. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to get a spear and go out there and stab any of you or anything to rid the evil from the congregation or anything like that. And I'm not saying there's evil in the congregation. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, haven't we? All of us here are sinners. But yes, we need to rid whatever is not of God in our midst. We need to cleanse individually and congregationally. We need to cleanse and purge from the camp here. Thank you, Lord. While the Torah usually spares us the names of the people who transgress, in this case, the Torah really points out and then illuminates who these offenders were to show how great or how evil was the deed here. Zimri was no ordinary man. He was a prince. He was a leader in the tribe of Simeon. He was one of the leaders, a prince in that tribe. And his harlot, the one that he was having this relationship in front of all of Israel, her name was Cozbi, who was none less a princess of the Midianites. So here you have a prince of Israel and a princess of the Midianites openly defying the God of Israel. And if Pinchas had considered the outcome of his act, he would have realized that he would be in the social trenches and shunned for what he did. For him to cross or go against the leadership, he would have crossed over boundaries and then to murder or to kill these two individuals who were of stature would inevitably cause him to be outcast. However, having the desire in his heart to serve the Lord God of Israel entirely, with all his heart, he acted quickly. And he placed himself between the living and the dead to stop this plague. Now the ancient rabbi, well-known rabbi Maimonides, also known as Rambam, asserted that sexual morality is a base upon which Jewish holiness is built. Morality is the base upon which holiness is built. The only times that the Torah speaks of the Lord's anger as wrath is when it's provoked by immorality among the children of Israel. Thus, when the Moabites failed to fulfill a plan of cursing Israel, which we saw last week dealing with Balaam, they used the ultimate weapon here. They strained the relationship between the Lord and the people of Israel by tempting them into shameless and immoral behavior. And they were succeeding in doing it because Israel was joining all in this immorality. And Pinchas knew that a swift and certain death to a corrupt leader would be the only hope to stop this idolatry and harlotry and the only way to appease the wrath of God. But where does this zealousness come from? We hear nothing about this man, Phinehas, here prior to this incident here. But our sages, the rabbis of old, allude that this divine zealousness traces back even to the sin of the golden calf when the tribes of Levi, which he was from, this tribe of Levi, stepped forward to exact judgment on all who worshiped that molten calf. Remember, the Levites took forward and they took their swords and they went through the camp and they rid it of evil. And we read in Exodus chapter 32, if you have your scriptures, Exodus chapter 32, starting at verse 26 through 29, Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, let him come to me." Then all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him, and he said to them, This is what Adonai, the God of Israel, says. Every man, put on his sword and go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay his brother, his friend, and his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did as Moses said. And that day from among the people fell about 3,000 men. Then Moses said, consecrate your hands today to the Lord so that he may give you a blessing today for every man who has been against his son and his brother. So it appears that within the tribe of Levi, there existed a devotion that would act on cue when necessary. That's why Levi was chosen as the tribe, God's tribe. They didn't have any inheritance when they entered into the land of Israel, into Canaan. Their inheritance was the Lord because of their faithfulness and their dedication to the Lord. The right reason and the timing were critical for the tribe of Levi. The very nature of their job depended on the fact that there was one God to worship and that false gods had no place in the camp among the people of Israel. They were all given for all time that desire to squash idolatry and promote the God of heaven and earth. In the Haftarah portion from today, or the prophets, the portion of the prophets today, the prophet Elijah, or Eliyahu, is on Mount Carmel. And he asked the people in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. Or it reads here, then Elijah approached all the people and he said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him. However, if Baal or Baal is God, then follow him. But the people did not answer him, not even a word. Elijah asks this question, but the people don't respond to his question. They were incapable of responding because their hearts had been filled and dulled by idolatry. In essence, they became victims of the same disease as the children of Israel during the time of Phinehas here, because they lacked the desire to follow the Torah, the Word of God. And God chose Eliyahu, or Elijah, to be an agent to spearhead change here. And like Pinchas, he was willing to exact judgment in order to stop the drought that was upon the land and cause the people to come back to the Lord. Because of their similar spirits here, the spirit of Phinehas and the spirit here of Elijah, the sages pose that Elijah and Phinehas here are really of one spirit, of one heart. They had that same desire and zealousness for the kingdom of God. That's why the Torah portion today, or the corresponding portion from the prophets, is Elijah, because they have one heart and one spirit here. And Eliyahu here is portrayed as a zealous prophet who says of himself in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10, I have been very zealous for Adonai Tzivaot, or the Lord God Almighty. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, God. They've torn down your altars. They've slain your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they are seeking to take my life. And what makes Eliyahu's story a mirror here of Phinehas is the very fact that he goes against the leaders of the land. Eliyahu also goes against King Ahab and Jezebel. We all heard of Jezebel, the evil. He goes against them as Phinehas went against the leadership as well for the sake of heaven, for Lashem Shamayim, for the sake of heaven. His very life is sought after that. They're after him. He remains an entity unto his own. Indeed, through his very actions of slaying these prophets of Baal here on Baal, he becomes unpopular. The people, very unpopular here, but at the same time makes himself an emissary of peace between God and man. He reestablishes that relationship between God and man. He bridges that. And we read this in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 40. 1 Kings 18, 40 says, then Elijah said to them, seize these prophets of Baal, let not a single one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the Wadi of Gizon, and slew them there. Eliyahu was spared death because of his faithfulness, his servant, his serving of the Lord, his desire, his zealousness for God. He was spared death and granted immortality for his fight against idolatry. Remember, he went up in that chariot of fire to heaven. Through his zealotry and his desire for the children of Israel to have peace with them and the Lord, he was rewarded with that ride to heaven on a chariot and the ability to link the heaven and earth together. And we know, those of you who have been to our Passover Seders, we know that every year we welcome Eliyahu or Elijah into our Seders. And also during Brit Milahs, during circumcision ceremonies of young boys at the age of 8 days, we welcome Elijah also to that ceremony. And he's said to be present also when a person passes from this world to the next, to usher them into the next world. That's what the sages say. He is that link between our world and the heavenly realm, the one who will come before the Messiah returns, the scripture says. The one of a voice calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Now turn with me to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew. You can't miss it. It's the very first book in the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant Scripture, chapter 3, starting at verse 1. We read about another zealot here, Yochanan, or John. A zealot who came in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. So this would be a corresponding portion from the Torah to the prophets to the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant. Yochanan, he's a zealot who came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And we read in Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 1 here, in those days, John the Immerser came proclaiming in the wilderness of Judea, turn away from your sins, for the kingdom of heaven is near. For he is the one that Isaiah the prophet spoke about, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of Adonai and make his path straight. And it says here, now John wore clothing from camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. That sounds good, doesn't it? I'm kind of getting hungry now. I'm talking about eating locusts with wild honey, huh? Sounds good, huh? It's actually kosher. Eating a locust is kosher. It's one of the kosher foods that you can eat. So listen, if you want to, go ahead, eat all you want today, you know, barbecued, chocolate-covered, any way you like them, but they're kosher, okay? And so it says he ate locusts, wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, all the people, and all Judea and all the region around Jordan, confessing their sins. They were being immersed or baptized by him in the Jordan River, just like we had an immersion ceremony 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? I think it was 2 weeks ago at Lloyd's house. Thank you, Lloyd. Let me publicly thank you for opening up your house again for all of us to go there and make a big mess and turn over one of your jet skis and drop the keys and into the sand in the water and all the things. And thank you. Okay. Confessing their sins, they were being immersed by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and many of the Sadducees coming to him for immersion, he said, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, produce fruit worthy of repentance. And do not think that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. Already the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I immerse you in the water for repentance. But one is coming, and he's speaking of Yeshua, the Messiah, Yeshua. One is coming after me who is mightier than I am. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will immerse you in the Ruach HaKodesh and fire, in the Holy Spirit and fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he shall clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, But the chaff he shall burn up with inextinguishable fire. So here we have three examples of zealots. We have Phinehas or Pinchas. We have Eliyahu, Elijah. We see here Yochanan, John, the immerser. But Yeshua himself, our Messiah, he was zealous for the things of God. Yeshua showed the same zeal for his Father's house. And let me tell you, all of us should have zeal for the house of God. That's why when we walk into this building, we should walk in with respect and with honor, not with our coffees and our Danish, not with our Frappuccinos, and not walking in here late to services, but coming in on time, prepared to be in the presence of the Lord, prepared to worship Him, prepared to serve Him with all of our heart. Zeal for the house of God. That's what you also want. We're looking for our own facility, our own building that we want to get. How are we going to treat that? Are we going to take care of it? Are we going to honor the things of God? But Yeshua had zeal for His Father's house. When He overturned all the tables in the temple where all the money changers were, Yeshua radiated a passion born of love for God. And we read this in turning your scriptures to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, starting at verse 13. And John 2:13 says, going on, after this, Yeshua went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples. Yeshua had brothers and he had sisters, okay? And his Talmudim, his disciples. And they stayed there a few days. And the Jewish feast of Pesach, Passover, was near. So Yeshua went up to Jerusalem. And in the temple, he found all the merchants there. They were selling oxen and sheep and doves and everything for the sacrifices for the Passover here. Also the money changers, they were sitting there. Then he made a whip of cords and drove them all out of the temple. This is Yeshua. He made a whip here. It says here, a whip of cords, and he drove them all out of the temple, these money changers, both the sheep and the oxen, and he dumped out all the coins, overturned the tables of the money changers. And to those selling doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace. And his disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. He had that zeal for God. And we all need to have that zeal for God in our life. And I'm not talking about necessarily a zeal that you're going to be spearing people and overturning tables and you're going to be chasing people with whips and all that. I'm talking about zeal for God, a love for God, an excitement for God, desire to share about the Lord with your family, with your neighbors, with people you work with. Having that zeal, that excitement for the things of God, we need to have that, each one of us. We're not going to make it as the days get worse and worse and evil becomes more and more prevalent in the world today. You're not going to make it if you have no zeal, no desire for the things of God. If you're just wishy-washy, you're not going to make it. You need to be excited and have zeal for the things of God. John Wesley was once asked how he got crowds to come when he spoke. In other words, he would speak and it would be full of crowds. How did he get all these crowds when he spoke? And he replied, I set myself on fire and the people came to see me burn. In other words, John Wesley was saying here, if I have a burning zeal for God, that excitement for God, if I am on fire for the Lord, then people will be prompted to come because they want to see the fire. And the same with you and I. If we have that zeal for God, we have that excitement for God, we are proclaiming the kingdom of God, the truth of God, we're excited, then people are going to want to know us. People are going to want to hear what we have to say. People will want to come to the synagogue here to hear the messages because the zeal of God, the excitement of God is here. And they want to join in and they want that rain. They want that rain to be poured down upon them. And the Lord is asking each one of you here today, every one of you in this room today, are you a zealot for the kingdom of God? Are you a zealot for your kingdom of God? Are you willing to buck the establishment and take a stand for God? Has the zeal of God consumed you? And is there a burning fire within you that can't be quenched? This is something I can't answer for you. You have to answer for yourself. So let us all here, let's follow these examples that we just saw throughout the scriptures here of Phinehas, of Pinchas, of Eliyahu, of Elijah, of Yochanan, John here, and of Yeshua, who is our prime example to follow, who showed zeal for the Lord and placed the holiness of God before the comforts of sin. And that's what we all need to do. I just want to encourage you all here to be faithful people, to serve the Lord with all your heart, to have a zeal for God, to have an excitement for God, to have a desire for the things of God. Don't let the cares of this world, don't let the sins of this world, don't let the pleasures of this world corrupt you, turn you away from God. Keep your eyes focused on Yeshua, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of your faith. Follow his example and live a life of godliness and holiness. And when you do that, you will see the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I thank you, Lord, for these examples that you've given us in your scriptures about those who are zealous for the things of God. And I pray that you would help each one.